was a long, painful year, 1837. The country was suffering a financial depression, and I was depressed in spirit. Sometimes it seemed the birds were the only bits of color in my life as they flitted past my bedside window. I truly believed that I would not live to see another summer, and I prayed constantly for the Lord to prepare me for death. But as the months passed, I gained strength slowly. My father had been away on a business trip at the time of my accident, and I eagerly looked for his return home.
Father!
Welcome home!
Sarah, Robert, I'm glad to be home. Where is everyone?
Mother and Elizabeth are in the bedroom reading to Ellen. Come on in.
It's so good to be home again with my loved ones. It's been a lonely time on the road, but where is my little Ellen?
Why, Father, I'm right here.
Oh, you poor little girl. What dreadful accident has happened to you? Who are you? Eunice, is this a neighbor's daughter?
No, Robert. This is our own Ellen.
Oh, now, don't try to tease me, my dear. I know my own daughter when I see her.
Oh, Father, it is me. It is. Am I so changed?
I was cut to the heart when my father failed to recognize me. There was further pain for me when I returned to school that fall, still very weak, but determined to gain an education. I quickly learned the bitter lesson that personal appearance often makes a difference in the treatment we receive.
All right, children, take your seats. Children, we have a new face in the classroom this morning. Her name is Ellen Harmon. Let's all greet her with a cheery good morning, shall we?
Good morning, Ellen.
Look at her nose. It looks like a turnip. She breathes through her mouth like a fish.
That will be enough, children. Ellen has been very ill since last year and consequently is behind in her studies. Now, will anyone volunteer to help her catch up?
Miss Webster, I'd like to be Ellen's monitor.
Thank you. I couldn't think of a better person for the job. Now take Ellen to the other room and work with her.
Come on, Ellen.
It's you, the girl who hit me with that rock.
Ellen, I'm so sorry. If I could only take back that day, can you ever forgive me?
Of course I forgive you.
Oh, thank you. I'll do everything I can to help you learn. Come on, let's get started. Are you all right, Ellen? Oh, your cough is getting worse every day. Maybe we'd better stop the writing lesson for a while so you can rest.
Do you call this hand-scratching writing? My hand trembles so badly you can hardly decipher what I put down. And when I try to read, the words blur on the page.
Let me wipe your forehead. Oh, you're sweating and shaking so badly. Maybe I'd better call the teacher.
Yes, please do. I feel dizzy and I fear I may faint.
Oh, Ellen, sit quietly. I'll be right back with help.
For 2 years, I was able to attend school only little. It seemed impossible for me to study and retain what I learned. My whole system was debilitated. On the advice of my teachers, I finally gave up school. It was the hardest struggle of my young life to give up hope of obtaining an education. Then, in March of 1840, when I was 12 years old, William Miller visited Portland and gave a series of lectures on the second coming of Christ.
Beth, Emma, have you ever seen such crowds?
They come from everywhere. Look! There are country folks carrying their lunch baskets,
and rich city people are driving up to the church door in their fancy carriages.
I've never seen the church so crowded. Hurry or we will never find seats.
We see plainly from the Bible that there will be no millennium of peace and righteousness before Christ comes. No second chance for sinners to repent. His coming will be sudden and unexpected. He will put an end to sin and cut off sinners. The 2,300 years of the prophecy are almost at an end. Prepare, brothers and sisters, for the advent of the Lord.
William Miller's preaching resulted in a general revival among the various denominations. Although I went forward with the others who wished salvation, I was convinced I could never become worthy to be called a child of God. Too discouraged and fearful to talk to anyone about my feelings of unworthiness, I wandered needlessly in darkness and despair. The following summer, my parents took me to the Methodist camp meeting at Buxton, Maine.
Do you live in doubt, brother? Are you held in bondage by timidity and fear of failure, sister? Do not let these feelings hold you back. Call upon Christ now. It is a fatal mistake to wait, to make yourself more worthy.
Emma, do you believe what the preacher said? That God will extend the scepter of mercy, even as Ahasuerus offered Esther the signal of his favor?
Yes, I do, Ellen. His sermon really encouraged me. I'm going to do just what he suggested. I'm going to reach out the hand of faith and touch the scepter of God's grace.
You are right. I believe, too. I, too, will claim the grace and salvation God offers.
But although I claimed the mercy of God, I was confused and in great distress because I did not feel the ecstasy that I thought would prove I had been accepted by God. How much I needed instruction concerning the simplicity of faith. When the people were called to the altar to seek the Lord, I went with them. I knelt and let my heart pray for me.
Help me, Jesus. Save me or I will perish. I will never cease to entreat you until my prayers are heard and my sins are forgiven.
As I knelt at the altar and prayed, suddenly my burden left me and my heart was light. Jesus seemed very near to me. I felt able to go to him with all my griefs and trials. I learned more of the divine character of Christ in that short period than ever before.
Ellen, Ellen Harmon, you've been kneeling there for a long time, dear girl. Here, let me look at you.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you found Jesus, girl? Yes. Yes, you have his peace. There is no need to answer. I can see it in your face.
Soon after we returned to Portland, I was baptized into the Methodist Church by immersion in the cold, wind-lashed waters of Casco Bay, not far from the home of the poet Longfellow.
Ellen, it's so cold. Why did you insist on dunking when the pastor said that sprinkling would have been enough?
I wanted to be baptized as our Lord was.
Well, the next time you get any bright ideas, keep them to yourself.
About this time, I decided to try once again to obtain an education. I attended a ladies' seminary in Portland. I quickly became very weak and ill, however, and I realized that further attempts at education would be at the cost of my life. With great sadness, I returned home. In June of 1842, I was cheered by William Miller's return to our city.
And so I have proven, as I said I would, that the Bible explains itself. Clearly, it teaches the literal, personal coming of Christ before the millennium. Know, my brothers and sisters, that the 2300 days of Daniel will come to an end in the year 1843. Look then for the coming of our Lord.
I believed the solemn words of the servant of God, and my great anxiety was to be ready to meet Jesus. In my home church, I had heard much in regard to sanctification. I had really no idea of what sanctification meant. This blessing seemed far beyond my reach, a state of purity that my heart could never know. I wanted to believe, but I could not understand what I must do.
Ellen, why do you continue to doubt? Believe in Jesus now.
Believe that he accepts you now.
I try to believe the way you want me to. I truly do. But I cannot feel his blessing.
Oh, you're just not trying. Take the Lord into your heart. Do it now.
I do try, but it seems to me that if I reach the state of grace that you want me to, it would electrify my whole being. I just don't feel the Lord in me that way.
The Lord is in all of us, Ellen. He is in you, and you must accept him.
I can't. I just can't find him.
But Ellen, you were baptized. Doesn't that make you feel God in your life?
Yes, I was baptized, but that only means I am justified, not sanctified. Everyone knows only the sanctified will go to heaven.
You know, Ellen, you've been attending those Advent meetings regularly. That could be what's preventing you from being sanctified.
Could it be? How can I know for sure? But you know, I have noticed that some who claim to be sanctified become bitter when the subject of Christ's soon coming is mentioned. Could that be true sanctification?
That's right. It seems to me that those who sincerely love Christ will rejoice at the news of his coming.